Whenever it wanted to utter the cry of a cock, it uttered a caw. Welcome back. This is Buddhist Books Podcast, episode 307, Tipitaka, part 200. Woo! Kulavaga 1, part 4, in which we will continue reading Kulavaga 1. So, for the past, let's just take a moment and look back at some of the early days in the Tipitaka series.
To ejaculate and red semen is emitted.
With the second thought, let's not do that. Perhaps I should explain. So, I have notes. That was Tipitaka 30. And it was also Aniyata 2. I think maybe I'm pronouncing that okay. Maybe not. But what it was... Well, it was the end of the first book. The episode in particular... I don't know. I'm not 100% confident that it's Aniyata. But... after they finished the Parajika rules and the Sangha Dissessa rules, so in other words, the top tier. So this is all Vinaya Pitaka. We've only been reading Vinaya Pitaka. These six books, including the one that's here, that's the fifth of the sixth. These six books are the Vinaya Pitaka, the rules basket, the discipline basket. That's all we've been reading so far. And we're getting slowly closer to finishing it, and then we will never be reading the discipline basket again. And then for years that follow that, we'll be reading the teachings of pre-sectarian early Buddhism. That will be nice. But anyway, so Aniyata is undetermined. In other words, it depends. So, like, what is it, you know, when a monk does this, does he get kicked out, or is it a formal meeting, or is it just a strong offense or a weak offense or whatever? And it depends on, you need more information. So that's why there's it all had to do with Udayin, of course. Anyway, but then at the end of the book, so you all know, of course, this is all translated by the Pali Text Society. Thank you, Polytech Society, and in particular, I.B. Horner. But now she was writing in the 1930s, and there were some things, especially in those first rules, the top tier rules and the second tier rules. So the top tier rules is no sex. And so people were like, what about sex with boys? No sex with boys. What about sex with animals? No sex with animals. What about, you know, what about a dead person? What about dead animals? And so Lord Buddha had to, with every, someone thought they would find a loophole, and Lord Buddha had to say, that's not a loophole. No, you'll get kicked out if you do that. And so, but then they were like, what if? And then they'd say, okay, that's a formal meeting. You know, like, that's almost, you almost get kicked out, but there's like a long laundry list of things that if you do, there's a formal meeting where you need to talk and probably go back to neophyte, go back to the first stage, and you're on probation, and, you know, maybe kicked out, maybe just like banned, nobody's allowed to talk to you for a while, or whatever, you know, it depends on the situation. And so, I.B. Horner, bless her heart, had a little bit of trouble bringing herself to literally translate a lot of the really kind of raunchy things that were written in the original Pali scriptures. And so much more recently, Dr. Petra Kiefer-Poles, I am certain I am not pronouncing that correctly. This is, I don't know where I pointed, but that was... You saw her face. So we owe her a debt of gratitude because at the end of the first book, she went ahead and translated all of the things. So like when I.B. Horner would, you know, she would write something like, the monk walked up to the deer and misbehaved himself. And Lord Buddha said, is it true that you misbehaved yourself? And so Petra, who's, I think she's still on the board at the Polytech Society. Hi? I hope that nobody over there is actually watching this. If you are, sorry for everything. But anyway, keep up the good work. Anyway, so she translated what exactly went down between that monk and that deer. And I don't necessarily want to tell you, but I will tell you that if you skip to 24 minutes and 22 seconds, that's the beginning of, so the first 24 minutes of that episode of Tipitaka Part 30 is finishing Aniyata, is reading Aniyata 2, or however that's pronounced. And then from the 24-minute mark, 24 minutes and 22 seconds, until 1 hour and 22 minutes, so almost a full hour, you get to hear her corrections, you know, clarifications about, okay, when it said this, what it actually should have said was this. So they kept the original text. You get to see I.B. Horner's translation, but then as an afterthought, it's like, okay, she said this, but actually this is what it said. So it's one full hour of the best parts. If you're twisted, I wouldn't know. So, okay, no, I'm twisted. But yeah, no, it's probably the most entertaining part. Again, if you're sick in the head, like me, then you probably don't even want to watch the rest of the episode that you're on. But just in honor of this being Tipitaka 200, I'm letting you know about the best part so far of the Tipitaka, which is Tipitaka 30, skip to the 24-minute mark, and enjoy a full hour of debauchery. Go ahead, and that's Tipitaka Part 30. Okay. For everyone else, if you would like to start at perhaps the beginning of the Tipitaka, or just look at the Tipitaka playlist and scroll up and down and see all the various, you know, stages. I think I was 20 kg heavier when we started, and we were living in New Delhi, and then we were living in one part of Goa. Now we're in another part of Goa. But there was a period of time where we were moving from place to place. So there's all kinds of where I'm standing and sitting in a balcony, and a lot of different things happening, going on. So here's the Tipitaka playlist. You can check out all 200. And that's pretty much that. Okay. So, you know, I thought I'd do something a little different and special for the opening to, since this was the, you know, Tipitaka Part 200. So that was it. And now we're going to pick up right where we left off last time in Tipitaka Part 199. Are you ready? Here we go. Now at that time, the Venerable Sudama, in the householder Sita's Makikasana. Okay, Sita's, there's footnotes and I'm confused. So normally I skip the footnotes, but I'm going to look. Sita's, called chief of lay followers who are speakers on Dhamma. Okay, lay followers who are speakers on Dhamma. That's interesting. It's like perhaps a proto-Nigapa, if you will. This is not a monk. Somewhere between a lay follower and a monk is what I'm wearing. Not formally, but informally. Never mind. Maka Sadana, that, now that one, a woodland grove. Okay. A town, according to, someone says it's a grove, someone says it's a town, and someone added in the realm of Magadha. All right. Doesn't matter. So householder Sita, C-I-T-T-A, I'm assuming that since there's an I after the C that I'm supposed to pronounce it Sita. Anyway, continuing. An overseer of new buildings, a constant advisor. All right. So the Venerable Sudama was a resident in the householder Sita's grove or town or whatever. And he was an overseer of new buildings and a constant advisor. Okay, so these two people are new to Buddhist Books podcast. We haven't read about them before, as far as I recall, in any of the previous books. Whenever the householder Sitta wished to invite an order or a group or an individual, he did not invite the order or the group or the individual without having asked the Venerable Sudama for permission. Now at that time, several monks who were elders, the Venerable Sariputta, we know him, the Venerable Moggallana, the Great, we know him as well, and the Venerable Kakana, the Great, and the Venerable Kotita, the Great, all have been here before, and the Venerable Kapina, the Great, it's getting a little crowded, and the Venerable Kunda, the Great, and the Venerable Anuruddha, and the Venerable Rivata, and the Venerable Upali, good to see Kermit, and the Venerable Ananda, and the Venerable Rahula. Okay, let's put our main characters here, and the group of the greatly honored venerable ones there. So the main characters that we're talking about here, and these are all those monks that are being invited with respect, even though they're smaller. I don't mean they're smaller in any other way other than just to make room so that this doesn't get too crazy. Okay, for you on the audio only, don't worry about it. All right, there's an audio only version of this that people can listen to on Apple Podcasts or whatnot. Okay, continuing. Walking on tour in Kasi, arrived in Makikasana. The householder Sitta heard that these monks who were elders had reached Makikasanda. Then the householder Sitta approached these monks who were elders. Having greeted these monks who were elders, he sat down at a respectful distance. As the householder Sitta was sitting down at a respectful distance, the Venerable Sariputta, delighted, rejoiced, roused, gladdened him with talk on Dhamma. Then the householder Sitta, delighted, three dots, gladdened, with the Venerable Sariputta's talk on Dhamma, spoke thus to the monks who were elders, quote, "Honored sirs, let the elders consent to come to a meal with me on the morrow," end quote. The monks who were elders consented by becoming silent. Then the householder Sitta, having understood the consent of the monks who were elders, rising from his seat, having greeted the monks who were elders, keeping his right side towards them, approached the Venerable Sudama. Having greeted the Venerable Sudama, he stood at a respectful distance. As he was standing at a respectful distance, the householder Sitta spoke thus to the Venerable Sudama, quote, "Honored sir, may Master Sudama consent to a meal with me on the morrow together with the elders," end quote. Then the Venerable Sudama thought, quote, "Formerly, when the householder Sitta wished to invite an order or a group or an individual, he did not invite the order or the group or the individual without having asked me for permission. Now, who are you that anybody needs to ask permission to invite Sariputra and Ananda?" And that's probably the issue. We'll see. We'll keep reading. There's a rule that's going to be established because somebody's going to do something wrong, and I think it might be this guy. Continuing. "But now, he invites monks who are elders without having asked me for permission. The householder Sitta is now corrupted. He is indifferent to me, detached from me." This monk has issues. End quote. And he spoke thus to the householder Sitta, quote, "No, householder, I do not consent," end quote. And a second time, three dots, and a third time, did the householder Sitta speak thus to the Venerable Sudama, quote, "Honored sir, May Master Sudama consent to a meal with me on the morrow together with the elders, end quote. Quote, no, householder, I do not consent, end quote. Then the householder Sitta, thinking, what can Master Sudama, either consenting or not consenting, do to me? End quote. Having greeted the venerable Sudama, departed, keeping his right side towards him. Then, towards the end of that night, the householder Sitta had sumptuous foods, solid and soft, prepared for the monks who were elders. Then the venerable Sudama, thinking, quote, suppose I were to see what has been prepared on behalf of the householder Sitta for the elders, end quote. Having dressed in the morning, taking his bowl and robe, approached the dwelling of the householder Sitta. Having approached, he sat down on an appointed seat. Then the householder Sitta, is it Chitta? Sitta? approached the venerable Sudama. Having approached, having greeted the venerable Sudama, he sat down at a respectful distance. The venerable Sudama spoke thus to the householder Sitta, as he was sitting down at a respectful distance. Quote, truly abundant, householder, is this solid and soft food prepared by you. But one thing is not here, that is to say, sesame cake. End quote. Quote, although, honored sir, much treasure is to be found in the awakened one's words, just this is mentioned by Master Sudama, that is to say, sesame cake. Formerly, honored sir, some merchants of the Deccan, I'm a little curious, the southern region, something something, okay, went to an eastern district for trading, and from there they brought back a hen. Then, honored, so there's a particular district, the Puratima Janapada, and Miss Horner translated it as an eastern district. Okay, that's why there's a footnote. Went to an eastern district for trading, and from there they brought back a hen. Then, honored sir, that hen mated with a crow and produced a chick. And whenever, honored sir, that chick wanted to utter the cry of a crow, it uttered a cock-a-doodle-doo. Whenever it wanted to utter the cry of a cock, it uttered a caw. In the same way, honored sir, although much treasure is to be found in the awakened one's words, just this is mentioned by Master Sudama, that is to say, sesame cake, end quote. I feel like that was really good, but I don't quite get it, but I feel like it was really good. It probably 2,600 years ago, that would have been like, ooh, burn, he got him. Anyway, quote, you, householder, are reviling me. You, householder, are abusing me. This is your residence, householder. I will go away. End quote. Quote, honored sir, I am not reviling and abusing Master Sudama. Honored sir, let Master Sudama remain in Machikasanda. Delightful is the wild mango grove. I will make an effort for Master Sudama in respect of the requisites of robes, alms food, lodgings, and medicines for the sick, end quote. And a second time, three dots, and a third time did the venerable Sudama speak thus to the householder Sitta, quote, you, householder, are reviling me. Three dots, I will go away. End quote. Quote, where, honored sir, will Master Sudama go? End quote. Quote, I, householder, will go to Savati to see the Lord. End quote. Oh, that'll go well. Quote, well then, honored sir, tell the Lord everything that was said by you and that was said by me. But this, honored sir, will not be surprising, that Master Sudama should come back again to Machikasanda. End quote. Oh, I'm intrigued. This has an element of drama to it that a lot of the Vinaya Pitaka kind of leaves you going, with this, I'm like, all right, what's going to happen? How's this going to pan out? Then the Venerable Sudama, having packed away his lodgings, taking his bowl and robe, set out for Savati. In due course, he approached Savati, the Jeta Grove, Anathapindika's monastery, the Lord. Having approached, having greeted the Lord, he sat down at a respectful distance. As he was sitting down at a respectful distance, the Venerable Sudama told the Lord everything that had been said by himself and that had been said by the householder Sitta. The Awakened One, the Lord, rebuked him, saying, quote, "It is not suiting, foolish man. It is not becoming. It is not fitting. It is not worthy of a recluse. It is not allowable. It is not to be done. How can you, foolish man, jeer at the householder Sitta?" There's a footnote on jeer at. Kom Seti or Vam Beti. All right. Sorry for wasting our time looking at the footnote. Jeer at the householder Sitta, who has faith and is believing, who is a benefactor, a worker, a supporter of the order, with a low thing, and scoff at him with a low thing. It is not, foolish man, for pleasing those who are not yet pleased. Three dots, end quote. Sesame cake. And having rebuked him, having given reason to talk, he addressed the monks, saying, quote, "Well then, monks, let the order carry out a formal act of reconciliation for the monk Sudama, saying, quote, then quotes, the householder Sitta should be asked to forgive you." End quote. Within quotes. And thus, monks, should it be carried out. First, the monk Sudama should be reproved. Having reproved him, he should be made to remember. Having made him remember, he should be accused of the offense. Having accused him of the offense, the order should be informed by an experienced, competent monk, saying, quote within quotes, "Honored sirs, let the order listen to me. This monk Sudhama jeered at the householder Sitta, who has faith and is believing, a benefactor, a worker, a supporter of the order, with a low thing. He scoffed at him with a low thing. If it seems right to the order may carry out a formal act of reconciliation for the monk Sudhama, saying, quote within quote within quote, the householder Sitta should be asked to forgive you, quote within quote within quote. This is the motion. Honored sirs, let the order listen to me. This monk Sudama jeered at the householder Sitta, three dots, scoffed at him with a low thing. The order is carrying out a formal act of reconciliation for the monk Sudama, saying, quote within quote within quote, the householder Sitta should be asked to forgive you, end quote within quote within quote, if the carrying out of the formal act of reconciliation for the monk Sudama, saying, quote within quote within quote, the householder Sitta should be asked to forgive you, end quote within quote within quote, is pleasing to the venerable ones, they should be silent. He to whom it is not pleasing should speak. And a second time, I speak forth this matter, three dots, and a third time, I speak forth this matter, three dots, you should speak. A formal act of reconciliation for the monk Sudama, saying, quote, within quote, within quote, the householder Sitta should be asked to forgive you, end quote, within quote, within quote, is carried out by the order, it is pleasing to the order, therefore it is silent, thus do I understand this. End quote, within quotes. Monks, if it is possessed of three qualities, a formal act of reconciliation, three dots, and is easily settled. There's something in parentheses basically saying, you know, there's a similar thing said in previous things about other things. Copy paste that here. Thank you, Polytech Society, for that. Monks. If a monk is possessed of five qualities, the order, if it so desires, may carry out a formal act of reconciliation for him. If he tries for non-receiving of grains by householders. Okay, so if he refuses food. If he tries for non-profiting by householders. Interesting. If he tries for non-residence for householders. If he reviles and abuses householders. So it's like, oh, this is your... I won't stay here because you insulted me. Okay. If he reviles and abuses householders. If he causes householder to break with householder. Okay. That's nice, right? Because one of the really obnoxious things about cults is when the leaders try to separate people from their families and friends. Like, oh, well, if you're with us, then, you know. Well, monks. If a monk is possessed of these five qualities, three dots, act of reconciliation for him. So he's saying, don't be like that. He's saying, let the householders have their householder friends. Don't tell them, don't try to get them to antagonize each other, right? And monks, if a monk is possessed of five further qualities, the order, if it so desires, may carry out a formal act of reconciliation for him. If he speaks dispraise of the awakened one to householders, if he speaks dispraise of Dhamma to householders, if he speaks dispraise of the order to householders, if he jeers at householders with a low thing, if he scoffs at him with a low thing, if he does not fulfill, according to rule, his assent given to householders. Monks, if a monk, three dots, act of reconciliation for him, and monks, an order, if it so desires, may carry out a formal act of reconciliation for five kinds of monks. For one who tries for non-receiving of grains by householders, for one who tries for non-profiting by householders, for one who tries for non-residence of householders, for the one who reviles and abuses householders, for the one who causes householder to break with householder. Monks, in order, three dots, for these five kinds of monks. And monks, in order, if it so desires, may carry out a formal act of reconciliation for five further kinds of monks. For one who speaks dispraise of the awakened one to householders, three dots. Of dispraise of Dhamma to householders, three dots. Dispraise of an order to householders. For the one who jeers at a householder with a low thing, scoffs at him with a low thing. For one who does not fulfill, according to rule, his assent given to householders. Monks, an order, if it so desires, may carry out a formal act of reconciliation for these five kinds of monks. Told are the four times five cases on being desirous. Okay. Monks. A monk for whom a formal act of reconciliation has been carried out should conduct himself properly, three dots. It's the same as before, but for reconciliation for an act of censure, he should not quarrel with monks. Okay, so this monk is in trouble until later when he comes back. Well, maybe they'll get to that. End quote. Told are the 18 observances connected with a formal act of reconciliation. Then the order carried out a formal act of reconciliation for the monk Sudama, saying, quote, the householder Sitta should be asked to forgive you, end quote. He, having gone to Machikasana, when the formal act of reconciliation had been carried out by the order, becoming ashamed, was unable to ask the householder Sitta to forgive him, and he went back again to Savati. Monks spoke thus to him, quote, did you ask the householder Sitta to forgive you? End quote. Quote, now I, your reverences, having gone to Machikasanda, becoming ashamed, was unable to ask the householder Sitta to forgive me. End quote. They told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, well then, monks, let the order give a companion messenger to the monk Sudama, to ask the householder Sitta to forgive him.
And thus, monks, should he be given? First, a monk should be asked. Having asked him, the order should be informed by an experienced, competent monk, saying, quote, within quotes, "Honored sirs, let the order listen to me. If it seems right to the order may give the monk so-and-so as a companion messenger to the monk Sudama to ask the householder Sitta to forgive him. This is the motion. Honored sirs, let the order listen to me. The order is giving the monk so-and-so as a companion messenger to the monk Sudama."
I mean, even though it's all very formal and stuff, and it's interesting that Lord Buddha started off as a prince, so it's kind of telling. Like, is this how he observed things being run in, I don't think it was, he was born in Lumini, but I don't think that was where his father's kingdom was. But regardless, yeah, it's really good. Like, it's no wonder that the Buddhist order lasted so long that it then gave birth to Mahayana and Vajrayana and Zen and all the forms of Buddhism that are in the world today. So it's really kind of brilliant how, you know, strict they were about these details, that if a monk offends a layperson, that's an issue. We need to talk about that issue. And if the monk can't apologize, then he should be given a companion to apologize for him. But the whole order needs to know what's going on. And if any person, even the newest monk, has an issue, the companion that you're sending with him, you shouldn't send him because something nobody else here knows except for me, I'm going to speak up about it, you know, or just including everybody in the decision-making process so that nothing's going on sneakily. Nothing seems like it's sneaky, even if it's not. You know what I mean? I don't know. I really admire, you know, that's a strong word. I really like how, anyway, I'll keep reading. "This is the motion. Honored sirs, let the order listen to me. The order is giving the monk so-and-so as a companion messenger to the monk Sudhama to ask the householder Sitta to forgive him. If the giving of the monk so-and-so as a companion messenger to the monk Sudhama to ask the householder Sitta to forgive him is pleasing to the venerable ones, let them be silent. He to whom it is not pleasing should speak. The monk so-and-so is given by the order to the monk Sudhama as a companion messenger to ask the householder Sitta to forgive him. It is pleasing to the order, therefore it is silent. Thus do I understand this." End quote, within quotes. Monks. When the monk Sudhama, together with the companion messenger monk, has reached Machi Kasanda, the householder Sitta should be asked to forgive him. Sudhama, using the words, quote, within quotes, "Forgive me, householder, I am at peace towards you." And quote, within quotes, "If while he is being spoken to thus, he forgives him, that is good. If he does not forgive, he should be spoken to by the companion messenger monk, saying, quote, within quotes, "Forgive this monk, householder, he is at peace towards you." And quote, within quotes, "If while he is being spoken to thus, he forgives him, that is good. If he does not forgive, he should be spoken to by the companion messenger monk, saying, quote, within quotes, "Forgive this monk, householder, for I am at peace towards you." End quote, within quotes. If, three dots, that is good. If he does not forgive, he should be spoken to by the companion messenger monk, saying, quote, within quotes, "Forgive this monk, householder. I ask it in the name of the order." And quote within quotes, if three dots, that is good. If he forgives him, that is good. If he does not forgive, the companion messenger monk, not having caused the monk Sudama to be dismissed from reach of the sight of the householder Sitta, not having caused him to be dismissed from reach of the hearing, having made him arrange his upper robe over one shoulder, having made him sit down on his haunches, having made him salute with joined palms, should cause that offense to be confessed. End quote. Well, okay. All right. There's a little more. Then the monk Sudama, together with the companion messenger monk, having reached Machi Kasanda, asked the householder Sitta to forgive him. He conducted himself properly and was subdued. He mended his ways, and having approached monks, he spoke thus. Oh, okay, so it worked out. Okay, quote, "I, your reverences, for whom a formal act of reconciliation was carried out by an order, am conducting myself properly, I am subdued, I am mending my ways,
Now what line of conduct should be followed by me? End quote. In quotes, they told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, well then, monks, let the order revoke the formal act of reconciliation for the monk Sudama. Monks, if a monk is possessed of five qualities, the formal act of reconciliation should not be revoked. And it's a copy-paste from a previous situation that was similar. It doesn't say. They just put in parentheses, like, go look back, flip back several pages, and they all go, oh, it also says here, like, yeah, go further back. The first time there was a similar situation that we said it, and never said it since, because we're trying to save paper. Okay, fair enough, I guess. Does not quarrel with monks. Monks, if a monk is possessed of these eight qualities, the formal act of reconciliation may be revoked. Told are the 18 cases where a formal act of reconciliation may be revoked. And thus, monks, should it be revoked? Monks, that monk Sudama, having approached the order, three dots, it's the same as when other things have been revoked in the past, says the parentheses. Thus do I understand this, end quote, in quotes, end quote. Told is the fourth formal act, that of reconciliation. And that, my friends, concludes today's reading from the Vinaya Pitaka, the Kulavaga, Kulavaga 1 of the Vinaya Pitaka of the Tipitaka, the scriptures of pre-sectarian early Buddhism. Thank you for joining me for today, for this monumental episode, it being the 200th, and that being divisible by 100. You know, when it's 200, gotta make a big deal out of it a little. We recently had our 300th episode of Buddhist Books Podcast, so if it's Buddhist Books 107 and Tipitaka 200, well, that means there's 107 episodes that aren't Tipitaka. Yes, that's true. And one of them is coming up next time on Buddhist Books 308. It'll be an 8 episode, and notice next to the little 8, there's a little monk. That particular monk is Ehe Dogen, and that particular little green book that he's sitting with is his writings, the Shobogenzo, the Treasury of the Eye of the True Dharma. And we'll be reading from that next time. And if you want to catch up, or if you not, there's no catching up with that one. I mean, it's his lectures. But if you want to check out the Zen Buddhism playlist here on Buddhist Books Podcast and see what's there, and perhaps, I don't know, watch all of them if you want to, the playlist is right here. Go nuts. And then next time you'll be like, okay, this is the latest installment in the Zen Buddhism series that I'm completely caught up on. All right. That's it for today. I'm going to go ahead and do our usual closing now. To the north and to the south, to the east and to the west, to the spirits of light among us and to the spirits below, we send out our reverent love and compassion. May all beings be happy. May all beings be serene. May all beings be in peace. Until next time.
At a certain time, a monk going to the cemetery and seeing a decapitated head inserted his male organ into the opened mouth and not touching it. Oh, he was remorseful. Monk, there is not an offense involving defeat. There is an offense of wrongdoing. Okay. So he opened up the mouth and then he put it in technically, but it didn't actually make physical contact with the inside of the mouth.